You're listening to Now I've Heard Everything, conversations with the icons of our time.
Someone told me recently, Bill, someone said, my boss came in, he was an executive at a company, and said, guess what? You're becoming unexpectedly leisured.
Actress and writer Annabelle Gurwitch, today on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson. No matter where you work, no matter what you do, no matter how long you've done it, there's a good chance you'll be fired someday, especially in today's environment where employers don't seem to have much loyalty to their employees anymore. But sometimes, the situation can be so absurd and so comical that all you can do is laugh about it. Actress and writer Annabelle Gurwitch has been fired. She knows lots and lots of other people who've been fired. I'm among them. So she gathered all their stories in a book that she called Fired. And if you've ever been fired, or you're about to be fired, or you know somebody who's been fired, you need to listen to this interview. So here now, from 2006, Annabelle Gurwitch.
I think it's like one of those 6 degrees things. Probably at any moment, wherever you are in the world, the person that you're talking to is somehow six degrees separated from someone who once fired you.
With this book, are you not talking basically to about 99% of Americans?
I think I'm talking to anyone who has ever had a job, ever will have a job, because as we know, you know, we live in a totally different working economy than, for instance, my parents did, where you might, you know, have one job, one career your whole life, you know, expect to retire with a gold watch. There's not even a gold-plated watch waiting for anyone anywhere. We all change jobs a lot. Now, that's like on the... It's both scary and also exciting. You know, it depends on really what kind of person you are and if you like challenges and you like change. For people who are do not like challenges and change, you're going to have a tough time out there. But, that's why I wrote this book, because so many of us have this universal experience of being fired. I mean, this whole book started with my own experience of being fired by Woody Allen. And it was so crushing that I had the common reaction that I think everyone has, Bill, which is first, I wanted to crawl into the fetal position, cry, get drunk, rail at I hate the world. I hate Woody Allen. I hate me. I'm very self-loathing. So I went right to, you know, I hate me. And then, you know, I hate that job. Have me back, please. You know, you're stuck between denial and begging and, oh, anger. Oh, it's so crazy, the experience. But one of the biggest common themes that I have heard from people who've been fired, and I experienced this myself, was feeling isolated, feeling like I'm the only person in the world who's been fired. And even though you know it's not true, intellectually, you know it's not true. This is the experience of it. So I started collecting stories purely is self-interest to make myself feel better about having gotten fired. And then once there were so many stories, I thought I really should share these with other people. And then the whole project kind of snowballed. I started having comedian friends and I started performing this live. People would come up to us afterwards and tell us their stories, people from every kind of profession imaginable. And so, you know, the book, and so that's why I continued this. And I thought, wow, if I collect these in a book for people, first of all, stories about being fired are much funnier and much more entertaining than stories about being hired. So there's just the pure, simple, you know, great story aspect of it. And I love essays as a form. That is my absolute favorite form of writing, is the essay. And so I had people write these essays, and I thought, you know what? This is the book that you keep on your desk. So in case of a firing, you have it there. Or in case I've actually been told this, and someone writes about this in the book, there's a smell of unemployment. You know, when you think you might get fired, you get the book or you give it to someone who's been fired, or, you know, just a funny read. But I did it so that people, it's a form of humor therapy, wouldn't suffer as much or feel so alone when they knew that all these other great, funny, very accomplished people have also gotten the boot. Or as someone told me recently, Bill, someone said, my boss came in, he was an executive at a company, and said, guess what? We're making you, you're becoming unexpectedly leisured.
But you know, the thing that comes through with so many of these stories, whether it's somebody famous or somebody we've never heard of, is even if it was a job that they didn't especially like, even if it's a job they hated, Nobody still wants to be fired. I mean, it still hurts.
It still hurts. No one wants to be rejected. You know, comedian Judy Gold was fired when she was a toll booth operator on the New Jersey Turnpike, a job she likened to working in a supermarket and ringing up the same item all day. It was monotonous. It was a horrible job. But you don't want to be fired from that job. You know, Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, fired once from the Solicitor General's office of the United States. He was actually, he's a very big Democrat. He was the Secretary of Labor under Bill Clinton, but he actually worked in the Reagan administration for the Solicitor General's office. He argued two cases in front of the Supreme Court. And the third case he was asked to argue involved getting rid of the First, Fourth, Seventh, and Ninth Amendments to the Constitution. And he just couldn't bring himself to do that. Now, you know, and so he really was happy to be fired. I mean, this is actually a time when the entire country should, you know, say, yay, you were fired. But then you still have the same experience of you're out of a job. And, you know, first of all, it's crushing to be rejected, even when you hate the job. There's a story from Matt Walsh from The Daily Show. Now, he was fired once when he was a singing telegram artist, a job for which he had to dress in a flesh-colored tutu and leotard. And Matt's kind of a guy with a little padding. You don't want to see him in a flesh-colored leotard. He hated this job. Still, you don't want to be fired. And for many of us who experience being fired, actually, when we're, say, you know, 40, which is how old I was when I was fired by Woody Allen, you know, you worry. I mean, you worry about your livelihood. You worry about your benefits, your pension, your health care. And I think this is something that all of us are really struggling with. I mean, you know, it's a really challenging economy out there, and you have to get really creative and find new opportunities for yourself. And part of the book is, you know, that aspect of psychologically, you've got to get yourself prepared to get back out there again. And we all know that humor raises your spirits. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of the therapy when you're trying to get better from an illness or a loss. You know, Freud said that, and I'm paraphrasing Freud here, but he said that, you know, humor is a high order coping mechanism that we use when facing a loss, and losing a job is a huge loss. I mean, it's, you know, you lose your community. Besides your income, it's the community, the people that you spend every day with on many, many cases. And that you feel emotionally. And so, you know, I don't know. I call me, it's a little bit of schadenfreude. But when I hear that, you know, Bill Maher was fired from his first talk show. Now, you might not think of the words Bill Maher and humility in the same sentence. But, you know, Bill's story in my book has a lot of humility to it. And I really love that. He says, you know, he wasn't really ready for that job when he's – I love that because, you know, sometimes you find yourself in the wrong job. Sometimes you're in a job you hate and it's – and ultimately getting fired. No one chooses – you don't want to be fired, but being fired can be that that catalyst.
Well, do you believe in, call it what you will, the hand of God, kismet, fate, the order of the universe? Is there some reason why people get fired?
You know, there's a really great playwright in my book, Stephen Adley Gurgis. If you get to New York, his plays have been on Broadway. They're so great. Jesus Hop, The A-Train, and Our Lady of 121st Street. He's a brilliant writer. And he says that getting fired is God's way of telling you should be doing something else. Now, I'm an agnostic, so that just sucks for me because I have a hard time with that one. I mean, I believe it, but I don't believe it. You know, if I can say that, but I do think that it is somehow, one of those, you know, experiences that it defines us. But I mean, it's our choice how it defines us in many cases. It can either be the end of your career or the beginning of something new. Now, actually, you know, it's, my book is really about being fired on an individual basis. I mean, when Woody Allen thought that I was retarded in the play he was in, I mean, that was crushing because I had to call everyone that I had told, I'm in this Woody Allen play. And now I'm not. And I had to deal with the fact that I felt I had failed personally. And failure is actually very instructive. I think we all fail at certain points in our lives. And, you know, one of my favorite writers, Truman Capote, said, failure is the condiment that gives success its flavor. And I think that is often very true. You know, it really, you know, it's great when everything goes well, you feel terrific about yourself, but it's when things don't go as you plan, when you don't live up to your own expectations or someone else's, that you really have to see what you're made of.
After this short break, Annabelle Gurwitch asks, what do you remember about the day you were fired?
Start your day with Now I've Heard Everything.
We post new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time.
Subscribe now so you'll have something fresh to listen to and get your day going.
Now back to my 2006 interview with Annabelle Gurwitch.
I'm really curious as to what's going to happen, though, in our country right now. We have 10,000 people being fired from Intel. You know, what will all these people do? And as a group, it's a huge number. And so when you're let go, when there's a downsizing or a layoff in that size, this is a really big, sea change we're seeing in the country. And we're looking at General Motors and Ford and all these large manufacturing companies disappearing. What are people going to do? I don't know. You know, I mean, I think that we really have to invest in job retraining and really supporting our middle class. And even executives, there's a statistic that says that executives are spending, although it's hard to cry for them, more time unemployed. And that all has a trickle-down effect on our economy. But, you know, my book just addresses the humor therapy aspect of it, the humor, the perspective. And there's something else that I really hope from my book, which is that, you know, I made this book in the same way that I used to do Dinner and a Movie. When I was the co-host of Dinner and a Movie, I would call up my friends and say, hey, John Cryer, come on the show. And we did like a montage of John Cryer's hair loss in various movies, starting back in the John Hughes Pretty in Pink. It's like, you know, seeing hair, no hair. Brad Whitford came on, Janine Garofalo came on, Kathy Griffin came on. Oh, just so many great actors who were friends of mine came on the show. And I called them up and said, hey, come do our little show. And so I called people up. I said, hey, come do my little book. And what I really intended, though, was it just happens that this is my community that I live in, entertainment business. I had just done a movie with Tim Allen. So I called Tim Allen, come do my book. Felicity Huffman and I have known each other for years. So it was a part of my community. I'm really urging people with my book to do the same in whatever community you live in, to start talking about this experience of being outsourced or downsized or fired, because you'll see that everyone's been through this experience. And I think that it has a really palliative effect to know that other people in your community have the same experience and to talk about it. It's really important to have your community around you when you have that experience. So, you know, when you look at my book, and yes, this is my little community, but reach out. I really urge people to talk to everyone around them. Let's take the stigma away from being fired. Let's celebrate it.
Well, the absurdity of some of these stories, starting with Woody Allen saying you look retarded. I mean, isn't it enough to just say, thank you, we won't need you anymore? He didn't have to go that far, did he?
You know, the funny thing is that every person who gets fired, I find, remembers exactly how it happened, what they were wearing, you know, whether it's me or it's, you know, Harry Shearer from The Simpsons and Harry Shearer from The Show. He's such a great writer and Spinal Tap. He actually says in one of his stories about being fired from a radio gig, he remembers the exact words they said. His boss turned to him and said, I envy you your freedom, after firing him. You know, it's just stunning. There's a stunning moment there where you'll just never forget that.
But here, all right, to give the employers their due, one of your little factoids is, and I didn't realize this, but I know it's probably true, is that the employer's risk of heart attack in the week after they fired somebody goes up 100%.
Yes. Now, I included that for a couple of reasons. You know, think before you fire someone. You're increasing. No, it's very stressful. It's actually horrible to have to fire someone. It's very true. That is absolutely true. It's a little bit of schadenfreude to know that while you're home, you know, crying or you got your crying out quickly and you're writing your resume and getting back out there again, your employer might be having a little palpitations. I just think it's good to see all sides of the issue. But the funny thing is, it is really true that you can't make these things up. Usually people tell me, I was fired Christmas Eve. I was fired, someone said they got a call when they were in Disneyland, happiest place on earth. Hey, you know what? You're having a good time. You don't need to come back. I mean, it's
How about the people at Radio Shack a couple of weeks ago fired by email?
The firings by email I consider very insidious. This is the wrong use for email. Email exists to berate people you love and accidentally hit send. This is wrong. I actually think that if you happen to be out there and you get fired by email, I say you should disregard it. Pretend, you know, my email, some of it comes through, some of it doesn't come through. Pretend you didn't get it. I think that's absolutely very important. That's a little bit of advice. I do give people advice. One of my pieces of advice is try to get other people fired with you. If you can, misery loves company. It's good to go down with the whole ship. You know, don't go down alone. Bring others down with you. Much more fun. I've included all kinds of stories in the book, and there's a story by Joyce Bieber, who is the founder of Bieber Silverstein. Was one of the first really big advertising agencies owned by women, fired 3 times by Leona Helmsley and once by Donald Trump. And it's just priceless. You know, you just can't believe it. I actually think of these stories as sort of it's like a spectator slowing on the freeway when you can't stop looking at a car crash. These are like the car crashes of employment. But, you know, I love what Joyce Bieber says, because she's in the advertising agency and she says, if you're not getting fired, you're not in the game. In fact, at one point, her advertising agency was having a bad year, and they had t-shirts printed up that said, "We've lost more than you'll ever bill." And I just thought, yeah, you've got to embrace that. You know, Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, in his story, he says, he always tells his students, if you are really doing creative work, you're going to get fired. If you are pushing the envelope and doing something no one's ever thought of before, you're going to get fired. But being fired is part of the growth process. And it's a challenging process. I mean, when people say to me, "Oh, you've written a book that's making lemons out of lemonade." I say, "Yes, it's a very bitter lemonade. It's an unsweetened lemonade. It's a lemonade that you don't run towards. It's thrown at you." But you know what? If it's going to happen to you, and if it's happened to you, if you work in the world, you've got to embrace it and figure out how to transform it.
Did you talk to, or have you heard from, even one person who did not get something better after they'd been fired?
You know, it's true that in so many cases I hear, you know, how it leads you to something better. I'm sure that there are people out there for whom that isn't true or who are still struggling. You know, it's just not always easy now. There are some great stories. People have written me emails who said, "I got fired on the day that I was going to tell them I had a new job, but I didn't tell them, luckily, because I got the benefits from the old job." So, you know, look, we all hope we can transform it quickly. But, you know, it's not always easy for everyone. So one thing that really helps is laughing.
Annabelle Gurwitch is 62 now. She lives in Los Angeles. Now, you can get a copy of Fired by Annabelle Gurwitch by tapping the link in our show notes or by going to our website, heardeverything.com. We may earn an Amazon commission if you make a purchase. While you're at heardeverything.com, don't miss my 1997 interview with one of the gentlemen that Annabelle just talked about, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich.
When I was a public official not too long ago, I had to watch my words. I mean, I got in trouble even for what I said. When I talked about corporate welfare, it was like a bomb went off.
And my 2008 conversation with someone who's been fired twice on TV by Donald Trump, Omarosa.
I have taught people how to treat me. No, you're not going to push me around. You should never underestimate me, and you should probably never turn your back on me, because you never know what's going to happen.
And of course, we post new episodes of Now I've Heard Everything right here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening. Next time on Now I've Heard Everything, the two men who set a record for traveling around the world nonstop in a balloon. It took them 20 days, but they made it. My 1999 interview with Bertrand Piccard and Brian Jones.
We needed to be fairly fit before we went. Not so much for the flight itself, but for the potential survival situations we may have found ourselves in.
But it was more of a psychological thrill than a physical thrill. We were always fighting against despair or too much hope. And that was really exhausting.
That's next time on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson.